The largest private landowner in Missouri is also one of the state's leading environmentalists. More than 50 years ago, Leo Dry began buying land in Missouri's Ozarks. He operates a timber company. And now, at 84 years old, he is turning over nearly 160,000 acres to a private foundation. As NPR's Greg Allen reports, it is the culmination of a career in which he pioneered a method of harvesting forest while at the same time preserving it.
Nowadays, Leo Dry is likely to be found not tramping through the woods, but in the cluttered one-room office that serves as his St. Louis headquarters. On the wall is a large and ancient map with lots of tracks marked in green. It's a map of Leo Dry's land, an area named Pioneer Forest.
Well, this was one of the earlier purchases right here.
Soft-spoken and given to understatement, Leo Dry doesn't look like a timber baron. More than 55 years ago, he left his job as assistant treasurer at a St. Louis shoe company because of his love for the outdoors. Dry says he'd spent weekends hiking and canoeing through Missouri's Ozarks and decided to begin buying up as much woodland as possible.
I didn't see how you could go wrong when you could buy land for $4 an acre, when you could cut more timber off of it and have timber left and have the land there, and made economic sense to do it.
But Dry says he also wanted to show that forest land could be managed in a way that was both productive and environmentally sound. It was slow going at first. Dry spent a lot of time, in his words, standing around and kicking gravel as he tried to convince Ozark old-timers to sell. Most land in the Ozarks was heavily wooded, but it had seen a lot of abuse. Most of the pine and white oak had been cut down years ago. At the turn of the century, the nation's largest sawmill operated here. Hogs and cattle were allowed to run free, and wildfires were often set to clear forest land for livestock. By 1954, Dry owned nearly 30,000 acres, when one night he and his crew were called out to help fight a big fire on state forest land. When they took a break, Dry says the person who flopped on the ground next to him was another forester named Charlie Kirk.
Charlie was the assistant manager of National Distillers Product Land, which was almost 90,000 acres they managed. And he asked me while we're lying there getting a breather, did I know that National Distillers had changed their forestry policies and were requiring all them to cut all the white oak for whiskey barrels. And I said I didn't know they'd changed their policies and were liquidating their investment as fast as they could.
Almost immediately, Dry went to New York and cut a deal with National Distillers to buy the company's 89,000 acres. The sale included a deep hollow with white oak trees more than 400 years old, one of the last remnants of the old-growth forest that had once stretched hundreds of miles across the Ozarks. That's just one of many special places Dry has preserved in Missouri. He helped the National Park Service create the Ozark Natural Scenic Riverways. 192 acres he purchased containing Indian petroglyphs are now managed by the state as a natural area. He also bought the state's largest undeveloped spring and then sold it at a reduced price to the Forest Service. But his biggest conservation effort is Pioneer Forest and the sustainable forest management practices used there now for more than 50 years. Specifically, Leo Dry and his foresters are proponents of something called individual tree selection.
This kind of gives you an example of what we're looking at here.
Clint Trammell knows Pioneer Forest well. He's Leo Dry's forest manager and has been hiking these woods, taking notes and marking trees for 34 years. This is oak and hickory forest. Trammell walks to an area that's been recently harvested. On this acre tract, sawmill crews took 10 trees Trammell had marked for cutting. But there are still lots of big trees left, and except for the low stumps, there's little sign a timber crew has recently been here.
What we have left, you can see here, we have trees that we could have sold that range anywhere from 11 inches diameter at breast height up to like that one over there that's probably getting pretty close to 19 inches. And we could have sold that, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that tree. But that tree will still be there when we come back.
At Pioneer Forest, each area is harvested every 20 years. Before the harvest, foresters come through and mark trees that are weak, diseased, or near the end of their lifespan. Trammell says the idea is that the forest should be as healthy after harvest as it was beforehand, maybe healthier.
If you look, here's two different size trees that we've taken out. Now, looking at the stump, it doesn't appear that there was anything at all wrong with these trees. But if you look straight up, you can see that where these trees were growing, their neighbors were overtopping them and crowding them out. So these trees were losing the competition battle. So it was time to take them out.
Individual tree selection isn't new. The National Forest Service promoted it as the preferred style of forest management from the 1940s through the 1960s, when clear-cutting finally won out as the industry standard. Clear-cutting enables large timber operations to maximize their production of wood fiber. But interest in individual tree selection and sustainable forestry is growing. Steve Harrington of the Forest Guild says many are now looking to Pioneer Forest as a model.
The name is perfect for that forest because it's sort of, you know, in the not-too-distant future, we're going to be looking for a lot of answers that these guys have already hammered out.
Many believe that just as today there's a demand for organic produce, eventually a consumer market will develop for wood harvested using sustainable forestry practices. If so, that will be just one more way in which conservationist Leo Dry was ahead of his time. Greg Allen, NPR News.